Ready to rise above loud, angry headlines? Longing for an alternative to the world's fighting and fear-mongering? Christianity Today magazine offers a trustworthy, faithful perspective on stories that matter to you, from the church next door to movements and ministries all around the world. Subscribe to CT for full access to in-depth reporting, insightful commentary, and redemptive storytelling, both online and in print. A subscription to CT also includes seasonal devotionals, special issues, and exclusive content. Visit orderct.com today or click the link in the show notes to get started and join a growing community of thoughtful, evangelical Christians who value different news that makes a difference. That's orderct.com to subscribe today.
This episode is brought to you in part by Richmond Graduate University. The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly. Richmond Graduate University can equip you to become a licensed professional counselor, integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmond.edu.
Hello, this is Russell Moore, and you're listening to Signposts. And I want to apologize at the outset because you may hear a repetitive banging going on while we're talking today. And it's because right outside my window, there is a massive construction project going on with jackhammers and everything else. So if you hear that, you'll know what's going on. I had a question from a listener that said, what do you do if you have differences of opinion within your church on spiritual gifts? And let me say, first of all, I'm not sure exactly what he means by this, because what he could mean is, I've got a spiritual gift and my church won't recognize it. I've certainly seen that happen before, where you've had people who will say, you know, the Lord's given me this gift to sing and my church won't let me sing, or Lord's gifted me to preach or to teach and the church won't do that with me. And in that case, I would say spiritual gifts are given not just to the individual, but for the entire church. So listen to the counsel and the wisdom of your church. Maybe that they don't know that you have a particular spiritual gift. Find some ways that you can serve with that particular gifting. And if it really is your spiritual gift, people will start to recognize it and they'll put you in positions where you can use it more, or they may not. And so you have a spiritual gift, but that's not it. That may be what he's talking about. But I think probably what he's talking about is what we tend to call charismatic spiritual gifts. And so whether or not those extraordinary, as some people would say, spiritual gifts, so say tongues or prophecy, ought to continue within the church today. Now, let me put my cards on the table at the very beginning and say, I am a cessationist, which means that I think that some of the spiritual gifts have ceased. I do not believe that the miraculous spiritual gifts have ceased. I think God heals dramatically sometimes, even as he did in the first century. And so I think the process for that is laid out in James 5, the congregation anointing the person with oil, praying over that person for healing. I'm not in any way objecting to extraordinary gifts. I think, based on my reading of the New Testament, that what you might call the revelatory gifts have ceased. Prophecy and tongues, which I think is in the New Testament a sign gift that communicates prophecy in a language that the person has not learned. So I don't think of it as a private prayer language or a manifestation of baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's how I see it. A lot of people disagree with me on that, and a lot of people that I respect very deeply disagree with me on that, and I may well be wrong. I know I'm wrong on many things. This might be one of them, but that's what I believe. Having said that, I'm able to coexist with a lot of people who disagree with me on those issues, including within a local church context. So the question of what that disagreement looks like, I think, would probably manifest itself more in terms of the function of what's going on in the church. So what I would say is, first of all, to recognize that sometimes the disagreements that we have are not as big as we think they are. So for instance, I was preaching one time for a friend of mine who is charismatic and who believes that all of the gifts described in the New Testament are operative today, including prophecy. And I was in his church, and they had a time of prophecy. And this is how it worked out. Someone stood up and read a psalm and said, "I have a strong impression that there may be someone who is sitting here today who is discouraged, who is downcast, who is about to give up, and who needs to hear this particular psalm." And there was a reading of the psalm and says, "If that's you, then I think what the Lord would have me to say to you is." And there was this word of encouragement that is drawn from that psalm and from other passages of scripture that was given. I had absolutely no objection to that taking place at all. The only difference between that person and me would be whether or not we would call that prophecy in terms of the New Testament, but no objection to what's actually happening that morning. As a matter of fact, I said, I wish that that sort of thing would take place more often in churches of every stripe. Someone to say, you know, I really have upon my heart a sense that I keep being drawn back to this particular passage, and I think maybe it's because there's somebody here who needs to hear it. That's not a "thus saith the Lord." This is a direct word from the Lord that somebody here is in this specific situation, and here is the specific answer to it. No, it's I think the Lord's leading me for us to come to this piece of revelation that we know is from the Lord and speaks to everybody in the body of Christ. But I think have an impression of speaking particularly maybe to somebody who's here. The psalm isn't wrong. And the appropriateness of the psalm isn't wrong for the people of God, but I may be wrong that there's somebody who's particularly going through this situation I'm describing today. I don't have a problem with that. This is a language of how a dispute over how we label things, not a dispute over what's going on within the congregation. So sometimes I think there's a divergence between what's really being argued about and the way that we argue about those things. So what I would say to you is, if you have a different view than your congregation when it comes to spiritual gifts in either direction, the first thing would be to have a good deal of charity for the rest of the congregation and the way that they view it. And also to see yourself as counting the interests of others as more important than yourself. So if you are a cessationist like me, but you're in a charismatic church, recognize that your viewpoint is not the viewpoint of the majority of people in the congregation. That doesn't mean that you ought to give up your convictions, but it does mean that you recognize this is not a central issue of whether or not I recognize the people who are with me as brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's not a central issue about whether or not we can be on mission together, probably. And so I'm not going to then go in and turn every small group meeting or every Sunday school class into a debating ground over that issue. The reverse is true as well. If you're someone who is more charismatic in your view of the gifts, don't view the gathering of your church as an opportunity to recruit people to your particular view. And so to come in and sort of surreptitiously start inducting people into speaking in tongues or whatever it is that you're wanting to do in a way that's not going to serve the rest of the body of Christ, but would end up being divisive within the body of Christ. Now, having said that, there are going to be situations where you may have a church that is so insistent on a particular manifestation of its views that you would say, I can't in good conscience serve in that church. And there would be some aspects of this that I would find really, really troubling. If you've got a congregation that says, if you have a different view than we have, maybe you have a congregation that holds my view of a ceasing of those revelatory gifts, but the church says anybody who disagrees with us is involved in the work of the devil, and anybody who manifests any of these gifts is by definition demon-possessed. And I've known congregations like that. Well, then if you hold a different view, you really couldn't operate very well within that congregation. And it would be divisive if you tried. Or if you're in a congregation that would say, the way that you know if you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit is if you're speaking in tongues. Or a congregation where you have people who are speaking words of prophecy as though they are speaking directly from the Lord in a way that is in any way equivalent with Scripture or in any way to shut down discussion or debate within the congregation, well, then you're not going to be able, as someone who holds different convictions, to be able to operate within that congregation. But often, though, there's a much wider spectrum than that. So you may be someone with more charismatic views, but you're in a church that doesn't recognize tongues and prophecy as continuing gifts of the Spirit, but you can carry out your mission perfectly well within that congregation. Good. You may be a cessationist, and you're in a congregation that holds to the continued presence of all of the spiritual gifts, but that isn't a defining aspect of that congregation's mission, and you can operate there. Well, fine. I think the issue there is to love each other and to be able to serve together wherever we can. And frankly, that would really apply to everything. I had a, or to almost everything that's not central to either the gospel or to the mission of a given congregation. So I had, for instance, someone in a church one time who was King James only. He thought that the King James Version is the protected, preserved translation of the Bible that's been handed down. I completely disagree with that. I love the King James Version, but I'm certainly not King James only. I didn't have a problem with him because I knew he held that view, but he never objected to the fact that I was preaching from a different translation most weeks. He never was standing up and disrupting his Sunday school class to say, we're going to stop reading from these New Age Bible translations and deal with the KJV. That was just his personal conviction. Great. We can have differences on that and be able to coexist together and to carry out the mission together. So what I would say to our brother who's asking that question about the spiritual gifts is to say, where are your convictions here, and where's your church's convictions, and does the one cause you not to be able to serve that church self-sacrificially and to serve with the church? If the answer to that is we can't agree, then yeah, separate. Go to a church that's going to be more receptive of your views. But usually, that's not the case. Usually, you're going to be able to say, we might disagree about how to interpret some of these passages in 1 Corinthians and in Acts. But for the most part, we agree and we're able to get along. This is Russell Moore. You've been listening to Signposts.